Welcome to the Forward Church Weekly Podcast. For more information about Forward, giving, or to request prayer, visit www.forwardchurchfamily.com.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Forward Church. Go ahead and grab your Bible and turn it to Romans chapter 8. We're going to be in Romans chapter 8 today. And as you turn there, I want to point out a transition that the Apostle Paul is making as he's writing this. So chapter 7 was mostly about the law and the flesh, and it was focused on Paul and his struggle with fleshly desires. And we see at the end of it, he cried out, "What a wretched man I am, who will deliver me?" And this chapter was basically focused completely on himself, the flesh and the law, and what a struggle that was. So in verses 13 through 25, as he closed out chapter 7, I want to read something to you. I'm going to read every personal pronoun that Paul used in those 13 verses, and I want you to hear it without the other words, just the personal pronouns as he finished out chapter 7. It goes like this: me, I, my, I, me, I, me, my, I, me, I, my, I, me, my, I, me, I, myself, my, I. Chapter 7 was all about Paul and the flesh, and that's the point he's making. It's 42 times he uses a personal pronoun speaking of himself and his struggle and how much he is struggling. And the point he's making there is when we rely on our own flesh, when we get internally focused and think on self and me, myself, and I, the result is we end up in the place of what a wretched man I am. We recognize I fall short of God's glory. I've tried in my own strength. It's about me, myself, and I, and I've found nothing but dead fruit from that, which is what we've been learning. And chapter 7 was all about the struggle with our flesh, because Paul is now transitioning to point us to our victory in the Spirit. So you see, Paul mentions the Spirit of God once in chapter 7, along with his 42 personal pronouns. But in chapter 8, he mentions the Spirit of God 20 times. So with that in mind, I want you to stand with me. We're going to read chapter 8, verses 1 through 11, and I want you to see the transition. Notice it, that it goes from Paul to the Spirit. Here's what he says, starting in verse 1. "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you." You can be seated. As always, we ask the Lord to add his blessing to the reading and the hearing of his holy word. Now, verse 1 again, and this is said to be one of the most hopeful verses in all the Bible. It's one that I memorized years ago, and I love it because it does have so much hope in it. It says this in verse 1: "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." Period. Amen. We need that right there. There is no condemnation now for those who are in Christ Jesus. And it's such a beautiful verse because it proclaims that those who are in Christ are not condemned. So the question is, well, how do you get in Christ? Well, we've been learning all through the book of Romans, it's by faith. All of Romans has been teaching us that we are saved by faith in Jesus. So once again, Paul is telling us that by faith in Jesus, you are then in Jesus. Therefore, Jesus is now in you, and there is no condemnation for you. And I want you to notice that word now. He doesn't say someday you'll be freed from condemnation. He said there is therefore now, from this moment, this point on, the moment you place your faith in Jesus, now there's no condemnation for you. So you live free. And that's the point he's making here. He's saying immediately, from this moment. So that doesn't mean that you won't make any more mistakes. That doesn't mean that you won't sin again. It simply means you're no longer condemned for your sin. Why? Because of what Christ has done for you. And because you have believed in him by faith in him, placing your faith in Jesus and his work to then rescue you from your work of sin. Now, obviously, there are still consequences for the believer. And when the believer continues to sin, there are consequences. So there's a big difference between condemnation and consequences. So I think one of the best examples of this might be Peter. Peter was a man of incredible faith. He believed that Jesus was the Messiah, but he sinned, and he even sinned to the point of trying to kill a man that was in defense of Jesus in the garden, right? He cut the guy's ear off, if you remember. And I would tell you, he wasn't aiming for his ear. Okay, he wasn't just trying to get his ear. And Jesus rebukes him for that, heals the man, and then from that point, we see Peter struggling with the consequences of his sin. He then later denies Jesus, and then he's suffering, and he's frustrated, and he has a terrible night, right? He flees, and he mourns, and he sobs as Jesus goes to the cross. So he's suffering consequences of his sin. But we know that Peter was not condemned, because the resurrected Jesus shows up to Peter, and he encourages him, he pulls him in, and he calls Peter to a life of ministry. So Peter, while he had consequences from his sinfulness, he was not condemned for his sin, and God went on to use him. In the same way, you who have placed your faith in Jesus, you need to know there's no more condemnation for your sin. There will be consequences for your sin. And you may be living out some of the consequences of your sin in this life. And that is part of our life. We will have consequences, but we can be freed from the eternal condemnation for our sin by faith in Jesus. So in light of this verse, where do we find our hope? He says, in Christ Jesus. Right there is the reason there is no condemnation, because we can be in Christ. By faith in Jesus, your position before God changes. So Romans has told us that in the flesh, you're an enemy of God because you have this sinful nature. By faith, you're no longer an enemy of God because you are now in Christ, in his Son. And when you are in Christ, your position before God becomes righteousness, not because of anything you've done, but because of what Christ has done. So being in Christ makes us righteous because of Jesus. So that phrase, in Christ, is so important for us. It's used 89 times in the New Testament. In fact, if you take in Christ and in him, which is the same thing, it jumps up to 130 times that it's used in the New Testament. Paul is the one that uses it the most. He says that to describe someone who is a Christian. He says it's someone who is in Christ Jesus. Scripture is telling us that we're in one of two positions. So you're either in Adam, the Bible will tell you, or which means in the world, and that equals condemnation. Or you are in Christ Jesus, which equals no condemnation. So you're either in Adam, that's the flesh, thinking on the flesh, thinking of chapter 7, I, me, my, myself, me, it's all about me. Or you're in Christ, which is the Spirit, now living your life for God and his glory. My life's no longer about me. My life is now about honoring Jesus because I'm in him. 1 Corinthians 15:22 says it this way, for as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. So verse 1 tells us, in Christ you are made alive. Translation, you are no longer condemned. All you need is Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul is telling us. A.W. Tozer once said, and we never want to put a comma after Christ. Not Christ with a comma waiting for something else, or Christ with a dash leading to somebody else, but we must preach Christ, period, for Christ is enough. It is Jesus and Jesus alone that brings us salvation and makes us righteous. And that's why verse 1 from the ESV, I think, is important. There's other translations that get it right as well, but it's accurate to the original text saying this: there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, period. And I want us to note that some translations add a comma there. You might have a translation in your hand that has a comma there. The NIV puts a comma. The New King James Version and the King James Version both have commas. The New King James and the King James Version add scripture to that. They add words to that. They add this. It says, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now, I want you to know, those words are not found in the earliest manuscript of the book of Romans. Letting you know this because you might have a translation that has that in there. That's not in the earliest transcripts of the book of Romans. And they don't agree with the context and the flow of Paul's statement here. So most Bible scholars agree that those that sentence was added in by a copyist later on. And in the early days, when someone wanted another transcript of the Bible, you'd have a copyist who would copy the Bible word for word. And biblical scholars think that there was a copyist along the way that thought, you know what, maybe I'll help Paul by adding in a little more explanation here. And if you go to Romans 8:4, it says basically that same thing. So maybe he wrote it in the column, pointing to that verse 1 is pointing to verse 4. And it's true that those who are in Christ should not and do not consistently walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. But Paul's original statement was with a period, and there's nothing else that needs to be said. So he left it there with a period. So that's just another reason why I like the ESV translation, because it is more accurate to the original text, especially in this situation, and it does not have a comma added in, because there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, period. Nothing else has to be said. Now, I'm not saying you can't read the King James Version or the New King James or the NIV. They're overall good translations. I'm just explaining why you might see a difference there if you're holding one of those in your hand. And it's just important to understand the verse in its original writing. There's no condemnation because you are in Christ. And then you begin to live that out by walking in the Spirit instead of the flesh. Why do you do that? Well, all of Romans has been telling us, because in Christ, you're a new creation. You're given new life. So you're a new creation. You're in Christ by faith. And because of your faith, Christ lives in you by his Holy Spirit. And then verses 2 through 3 tell us, for the law of the Spirit of life has set you free. Circle that, set you free. In Christ Jesus, from the law of sin and death, for God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. So in those two verses, we see that major shift away from chapter 7 and you and your old flesh to now shifting to God and being in his Spirit. The Holy Spirit and his power is all over chapter 8. And then we go to verse 4, and it says, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Circle those two words, in us. The work of the law is fulfilled in us. This is important. It's fulfilled in us, not by us. That's so important. So many people think, I've got to try to fulfill the law. I've got to do these things in order to make God pleased with me. No, you place your faith in Jesus. There's no condemnation for you now. You are pleasing to God because of what Jesus has done for you. And the law is fulfilled in you by the Holy Spirit that lives in you, not by you. So Paul is shifting the focus in a major way to say that overcoming the flesh is not about you. It's not about you. It is about the Spirit of God that now lives in you. So the work of righteousness is fulfilled inside of us by the Holy Spirit, not by us. And chapter 8 is all about the freedom that comes from being in Christ, filled with the Holy Spirit. Notice in verse 2, I think it was, that it says, we are set free. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free. You're set free by the Spirit that now lives inside of you. So, because the Holy Spirit is living inside of you by faith, you make decisions to then listen to the conviction of the Holy Spirit and walk according to His Spirit. So as a Christian, I'm no longer condemned. I don't feel condemnation. I'm set free. But now, instead of condemned, I'm convicted. And there's the big difference. With the Holy Spirit living inside of you, you now get convicted when you sin. You feel conviction. You feel guilty for it. You recognize that it is wrong, and you're therefore convicted. So you're in Christ, no condemnation, and you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you, and you are called to live now according to the guidance of the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you and convicts you. Verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. Now, Paul already mentioned that in verse 4, we do not walk according to the flesh. We now walk according to the Spirit. And now in these coming verses, he's contrasting two different types of people, the believer and the unbeliever, the Christian and the non-Christian, the saved, the unsaved, however you want to say it. Unbelievers are following the desires of their flesh. Unbelievers are concerned about their feeling good now in the moment. Unbelievers are concerned about gratifying bodily appetites and feeling pleasure in the now, feeling good and doing things that they like. The unbelievers want happiness now in this moment, but they are spiritually dead. Jesus said in Matthew 6, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, what shall we wear? For all these things, he said, the pagans seek. Unbelievers chase after those things to satisfy the flesh. Believers, though, think differently. Believers act differently. Believers live differently, or we should. Because he's saying you have the power of the Holy Spirit living inside of you. That Holy Spirit is enabling you to live different from the unbeliever. So you're given this power over sin. And once we have the Holy Spirit, by faith in Jesus, you are then empowered to live differently. So the righteousness of Jesus is placed inside of you by his Holy Spirit. And Paul is telling you now, because of what Jesus has done, you are to stop chasing after happiness and start chasing holiness. And that's the difference, again, for the believer. Stop chasing what's going to make you happy and start chasing what will make you holy. And the beautiful gospel truth is this. Once you understand that and you start chasing after holiness with everything you have and you seek to live an obedient life to the Lord and you've got the Holy Spirit living inside of you, guess what you find? Happiness. When you chase holiness, you find true happiness. So if you want to be happy, be holy. And you know, throughout my life, this has been shown true. I became a Christian in 1994, and the people I've met in all those years, the happiest people I know, the most content people I know, the people that have the most joy no matter the circumstance, are those who are striving to live holy lives that are pleasing to God, those who are following the Holy Spirit's conviction in their life. On the flip side of that, the most unhappy people I know, the most frustrated people I know, the people that are the people that care about being happy instead of holy. They're chasing whatever they think will make them happy in the moment now. You want happiness? Chase after holiness. Now, we have to understand that this process of becoming more like Jesus, of living holy lives as Jesus is holy, some of it takes time. Some things, when you become a Christian, change immediately. The moment you surrender your life to Christ, there's certain things you're convicted of. You just go, okay, that can't happen anymore because I'm now a Christian and I'm following Jesus and that's obvious and I'm getting that out of my life. But there's other things that throughout our life as a Christian, as we read Scripture, as we pray, as the Holy Spirit begins to convict us and show us that something is out of line and not in line with God's character and His will for my life, now I'm doing what is called killing that. I'm crucifying the flesh And that's part of the Christian walk. That's what sanctification is. It's a big Bible word, right? But sanctification is the process of becoming holy, of looking more like Jesus. And the Holy Spirit, the closer we get to God, begins to point out things that aren't godly. And we have to kill them. We have to crucify them. Galatians 2:4, right after we're told to develop the fruit of the Spirit, says this, "And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." Now, think of that context of the people listening to that. Crucifixion, they saw it, they knew it, they knew it was horrible. It was terrible. One of the worst things you could witness, one of the worst things that could happen to a person. And he's saying, you as a Christian have to crucify the flesh in your life, which means it's going to get ugly. It's going to be painful at times. There might leave scars behind, but you have to kill the old you and walk in newness of life. So when you belong to Jesus, when you're in Christ, you crucify, you kill the fleshly passions and desires. So it kind of looks like this. You become a Christian by placing your faith in Jesus and the saving work of Jesus. You recognize what he did for you on the cross and by conquering the grave, and you get excited and you begin to learn about him. You begin to learn about Jesus by learning from his word. And as you learn about him, you start walking with him and you're on this journey with Jesus, and he's showing you things in your life that must change, and you're trying to change them by the power of the Holy Spirit inside you that's convicting you and teaching you from God's holy word. But somewhere along the path, you're going to stumble over fleshly desires. You're going to trip and you're going to fall down as you're trying to walk with Jesus. But as a Christian, you don't stay down because you recognize, I'm not condemned for this. Now, there's going to be consequences because I messed up, I sinned, but I'm going to recognize the failure. I'm going to call it sin because it is. I'm going to repent of that sin, meaning I'm going to turn from it and not go back there again. I'm going to learn from that sin, and I'm going to get up thanking God that he has covered that with the blood of Jesus, and I'm going to begin walking with Jesus again. And that's the sanctification process, or not again, but continually. I'm going to continue walking with Jesus. So the hope is that the longer you're a Christian, the less you stumble, the less you fall, because you're learning from your mistakes. The Spirit's pointing to you what sin is, and you're recognizing, I'm not going back there again. I'm going to walk in newness of life. I'm going to walk with Christ, and I'm not going to keep stumbling over that stupid sin. And that's what it looks like, because we're not condemned for it anymore, so we repent of it, and we continue walking with Jesus. So sanctification happens when you set your mind on the things of God. Go to verse 6. "For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace." Here's a beautiful truth. Do you want a life filled with peace? Would you like to have a life that when you wake up in the morning, you just have peace in your heart? When things happen, you just have peace. The boss calls you into the office, you're at peace because you know you've done the right things. You haven't done anything wrong. So would you like to have peace with God, knowing that your life is at peace with God? Then he says you set your mind on the Spirit of God, because the Spirit is life and peace. Think about it. In life, when you're struggling the most, when you don't feel peace with God, when you just are always feeling like, oh no, I'm just going to get in trouble for something. Why does this person want to have this conversation with me? And you're just in turmoil. It's because your mind is set on the things of the flesh, and you haven't been doing things that honor God, and you live without peace. However, when your mind is set on the things of God, you're in his word, you're studying, you're praying, you're living the right life, you're doing everything you can to look like Jesus, then you live at peace. You go to bed and lay your head on the pillow and you just fall asleep knowing that I'm at peace with God. Everything is right. I can't control things that are going to happen out there, but I'm at peace. He's saying you set your mind on the things of the Spirit, because the Spirit is life and peace. Verses 7-8, "For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. For it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God." Listen, as long as you're living in the flesh, you cannot please God, no matter how hard you try. However, the beautiful story he's given here is the moment you surrender your life to Christ, you place your faith in Jesus, there is now no condemnation for you. you immediately become pleasing to God, not because of your works or your lack of works or your whatever you've done. It's not about you. It's simply because of what Jesus has done for you. And he has deposited his Holy Spirit inside of you, dwelling inside of you, as you placed your faith in him. Verse 9, you, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. But if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. He keeps giving these contrasts, right? He's very clear. If you place your faith in the saving grace of Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you, and there's no condemnation for you. But if you don't have the Spirit of God living inside of you, then you have not surrendered to Jesus yet. And listen, if you're here today and you're just not sure, you're going, I'm not sure. I don't know if I have the Spirit. I don't know if I've really done that yet or not. Then you have to ask yourself some questions. And I would ask you this. Can you say, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and I've accepted him as my Lord and Savior? If you have done that, you believe that, you've surrendered and you've allowed him to be Lord over your life, then he has deposited his Holy Spirit inside of you. The same Holy Spirit that every other Christian has, okay? You get the same amount of the Holy Spirit, but it's what you do with it. And then ask this, is the Spirit of God living inside of you? Then ask, do I have the desire to honor Jesus as my Lord and Savior? Do I have the desire to know more of his word? Am I looking more like Jesus over time from the point that I claimed that I believe, that I think that I placed my faith in Jesus? Am I radically different now? Or am I still stumbling over the same stumbling blocks and still in the same sin and still frustrated and not really fully at peace with God? If you look at that and you say, I'm just not fully at peace with God, then today's the day for you to say, I need to surrender to the saving grace of Jesus Christ so that his Holy Spirit will come in me and give me peace. And Paul is saying it's that simple. You surrender your life to Christ, you get the Holy Spirit. And once you have the Holy Spirit, there's no condemnation for you. And now you can begin living your life free from the condemnation and the judgment that the law and the flesh put on you. So today could be your day. I hope it is. If you are not there, you just place your faith in Jesus. In verse 10, he says, but if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the spirit is life because of righteousness. So listen, these bodies that we're in, they still die because of sin. They are wasting away because of sin of this world, and that's part of this world, is that these bodies will waste away and they will die. We know that to be true. However, the Spirit of God gives your spirit life. Because of his righteousness, that then makes you righteous. Jesus is giving you the position of righteousness before our holy God because of his work that he has done. He died in the place of all who will place their faith in him. And he resurrected from the grave to conquer death so that he can one day resurrect his followers. So he's saying, look, this body is going to die, but my spirit's going to live on because of faith in Jesus. And when Jesus returns, he's going to resurrect me into a new body. And that's what he's saying there in verse 10. And then verse 11, if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Now, such a beautiful truth from Scripture that I hope everyone understands. By faith in Jesus, Jesus lives in me. And this is what that means for us. The old me, my body, is dead. The old me, the old Neil that lived before I placed my faith in Jesus, dead and gone. This body is dead because it will pass away as well. But the Holy Spirit reigns and lives inside of me. And the Spirit is giving my spirit life. And again, when Jesus returns, he's going to resurrect me up into new life. So for now, we live in these fleshly bodies, and we're going to struggle with the flesh. And we know that the flesh is death. So he's making that obvious to us. But the difference now that I'm a Christian by faith is I have the Spirit of God living inside of me. The very same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is living inside of every single believer. So if that Spirit is powerful enough, because it is God in a spirit form, if it's powerful enough to raise Jesus from the dead, don't you think that Holy Spirit is powerful enough to help you conquer the sin in your life? That's what Paul's getting at. He's saying you have the very same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, and that Holy Spirit will reside in you by faith in Christ, and now you've got that power inside of you. So you set your mind on that Spirit, and that Spirit will then overcome the flesh. So he's giving us the key to overcoming the flesh. So the difference now is that the Holy Spirit is inside of me, willing and able to conquer the flesh when I place my mind on the Spirit. And when you do that, you have to understand that Satan and the things of the flesh are overpowered. They are defeated by Jesus. So we have to recognize there's a battlefield. And the battlefield between the flesh and the Spirit is right here in our mind. What are you setting your mind on? If you let your mind wander to the flesh, you let your mind wander to the things of the world, if your mind is more focused on the I's, the me's, the my's, and what, how am I going to be happy in the now, then guess what? The flesh is going to win, and the flesh leads to death. But if you focus on the Spirit wins. 2 Corinthians 10:3-5, for though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ. Right here, Paul is giving you the strategy for destroying the desires of the flesh. He's giving you the key to walking in the Spirit and not in the flesh. You let that Spirit that lives inside of you by faith, you let that Spirit wage the war for you. You let the Holy Spirit fight the battle for you by taking every thought captive that comes in and setting your thoughts on Christ and the things of His Spirit, not the things of this world. So listen, I recognize the struggle is real. We have to recognize that it's spiritual, though, and we have to let the Spirit of God fight the battle for us. If you try to take over and in your mind and in your willpower try to overcome that sin, you're going to stumble, you're going to fall, you're going to sin again. We know it to be true. I've been there, I've tried it on my own, and it doesn't work. You have to let the Spirit of God fight the battle for you. And you empower the Spirit of God by setting your mind on the Spirit and on the things of God. Remembering this, that your life is no longer about you. As a Christian, your life is now about honoring God who has saved you. Look at Galatians 2:20. I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, in that little passage, you see personal pronouns. You see I, me, but guess what? Those pronouns are followed up and surrounded with Christ, because he's recognizing my life is no longer about me, my, and I. My life is all about Christ. When I focus on me, myself, and I, that leads to death. But life is all about Christ and living in him so that he then lives in me. Now, as I close, I want you to circle four phrases in those 11 verses. Verse 2, set you free. Verse 6, life and peace. Verse 9, dwells in you. And in verse 11, give life to your mortal bodies. It's by faith in Jesus that his Holy Spirit will set you free. It's by faith in Jesus that he'll give you true life and peace, because his Spirit dwells inside of every believer. And that Spirit gives resurrection life for you to live for him now and live with him forever. What a beautiful, beautiful truth. We're going to close as we stand, and we're going to pray, and then we're going to worship our God. And maybe God's been working on your heart today, and maybe today's the day that you just need to surrender to him and let his Spirit take over your life. Maybe today's the day you are resurrected into new life because of faith in Jesus. And we just want you to know the altar's open. You can come forward, kneel at the altar and pray. There's connect cards up here. Fill one of them out and say, I made a decision to follow Christ. And your next step is baptism, to follow him in baptism. We'd love to talk to you about that as well. Maybe you just need to worship him for being such an awesome and loving God that he would fight the battle for you. The battle you've been struggling with, the battle you've been trying against the flesh so hard that he would let you know today that his spirit will conquer that and that there's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Let's stand and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we're thankful for your holy word. God, you are just a good and awesome God. We thank you that you would love us so much that you would send Jesus for us, not to just rescue us and save us, but to give us new life. And Father, today I know there's many in this room that have struggled with a hidden sin. They've been trying to walk with you and they keep stubbing their toe. They keep tripping over that same sin and they keep falling down, Lord. I pray that they would recognize today that there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, that they would not be feeling condemned by that sin, but that they would be convicted. They would understand there are consequences, but that they would feel convicted of that. They would repent of that sin, get up, and keep walking with you. I pray that they would see today that, as verse 2 said, as we looked at it, that we are set free by the Spirit that lives inside of us. May they walk in freedom today, knowing that there's no condemnation. And may that inspire us to want to walk closer with you in this newness of life that you call us to. God, I pray that we all would stop looking to the things of the flesh and we would look to the Spirit. And as we look to your Spirit, that you would guide us, you would restore us, you would renew us, you would refresh us. May we walk out of here today refreshed and excited, knowing that we can walk in newness of life every day because of what Christ has done. We love you. We confess our sins before you today. We thank you that the blood of Jesus covers them, that there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ.
You've been listening to the Forward Church Weekly Podcast. We hope you'll join us next week. For more information about Forward, giving, or to request prayer, visit www.forwardchurchfamily.com.